Well, this morning we are continuing a sermon series entitled Faith Foundations. And so I'm reading this morning from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 through 9 and verses 18 and 19. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Well, did you know that the 58-story Millennium Tower in San Francisco is sinking and leaning? So yes, we have a leaning tower of San Francisco. Instead of being anchored to the bedrock, engineers decided to anchor it in packed sand. I want to put the picture of that tower back up there for a minute. Some critics say that it has an inadequate foundation as a result. And since its construction, it has sunk 17 inches and tilted 14 inches. So if you were to drop a marble on the floor of one of its multi-million dollar condos, it would roll all the way across the floor of the condo and into the youth section. The fix would cost about $200 to $500 million. That's a lot, especially when you think they built the building for $300 million or $350 million. Studies predict that the building will continue to sink at a rate of 2 inches per year. Aren't you glad you didn't buy one of those condos? I know you were thinking about it. We don't normally think about a building's foundation, do we? Not unless there are problems. And when there are problems with a foundation, we know they're serious. So have you ever thought about the foundation of your faith? You might not think about it until one day you find out it can't support the stresses of your life. So how did your faith start? Did it start in Sunday school? You know, where the teacher told you Bible stories? Did it start in youth group? Maybe Sunday school, where you heard Bible stories. Did it start with your parents telling you stories from the Bible? Somebody may have told you, "Well, you know, always remember that God is good." Somebody might have told you, "Well, you know that God rewards people who are good and punishes those who are evil." And somebody else said, "Well, remember that God answers prayer." And all this seemed great in childhood. But your childhood faith may not do well when you become an adult. You may begin to wonder, why is there so much evil in the world if there's a good God? You might also notice that evil seems to get rewarded. You may discover that God doesn't always answer our prayers. And you may notice that bad things happen to good people. So the reality of our world may begin to erode our faith. Yesterday, I attended two funerals. There was a memorial service for a 49-year-old woman who'd been driving home after a yoga class and had a massive heart attack on the way home and died. I'd known the family for 29 years. So I went to the service that was at Velde Rose United Methodist Church. I also went to another funeral yesterday of a young man who committed suicide. He's the son-in-law of some church members. Both tragic. Two lives cut way short. And I know that their deaths may cause some people to have a crisis of faith. It really depends on that faith foundation. I want to clearly say that I don't believe that either of these tragedies were God's will. And I think God wanted the best for both people. I also believe that God's heart was broken, just as our hearts were broken at those services yesterday. But I know there are some faith foundations that will not stand up to the stress of those deaths. Another way that we might have a faith crisis is sometimes when we open the Bible. We may start reading some of the Bible stories. We may start having some big doubts, like, really? Could God really create all this in 7 days? Or maybe you have another doubt. You think, you know, how in the world could Noah keep all those animals on the ark for 1 year? And how in the world could he have enough food on the ark to feed these animals for 1 year? And how in the world did he keep them from eating each other? And really, is there enough water in the world that could cover all the peaks to the very top and over those peaks? I mean, where would that water come from? And so I know that some doubt the integrity of the Bible. Now, I know there are some Christians that have no problem, no doubts all the way through. Well, that's okay. But I know there are many questions that are raised when you read through some of the Bible stories, and some of us have doubts. I think some of those doubts happen for some people when they enter high school or they enter college, and they begin to look at science and they look at faith and they begin to really question their faith. And I know there are people who give up their faith. How well has your faith held up under the stresses of life? By the way, for some people, especially for younger generations, it is not enough to say the Bible says. I mean, for some of us, that creates a lot of authority. The Bible says, okay, but for some people, and especially for younger generations, that's not enough because they say, why should I even believe the Bible? So the Bible says may not be a good starting point for some people in their faith. You see, in religions, there is some uncertainty, some things that we are uncertain about. But then there are also those things we are very certain about. So think about this. You know when Christianity began? You do know there was no New Testament, right? There were the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, but there was no New Testament. It hadn't been written yet. The letters to churches had not been written yet. Nobody had sat down to write a complete account about Jesus in the Gospels. None of the Gospels had been written yet. Nobody had taken the time yet. And when they finally did start showing up, it took a couple hundred years before they were finally collected and bound together. So during that period of time, there was a Jew named Saul who didn't believe in all this Jesus stuff. He didn't believe in the resurrection. Matter of fact, he was infuriated by it. So he went to wipe out the movement called the Way. It wasn't called the church, it was called the Way. And he set out to kill Christians. And he was effective at it. But then that scripture I read happened, where he was confronted with the risen Christ, and he realized Jesus had been resurrected. And he changed. Matter of fact, his name changes from Saul to Paul because it represents his change. He's a new man. Paul becomes a Christian because he encounters Christ. He did not become a Christian because he read the New Testament. There wasn't one. He hadn't written part of it yet. Because I hope you realize he wrote many of the letters in the New Testament. Everything Paul learned about Jesus came from talking to other people who had seen Jesus be resurrected. They'd witnessed it. And that caused him to believe. And then Paul becomes one of the greatest witnesses of the resurrected Christ there ever was. For example, you read about it in Acts chapter 17. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you." When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some scoffed. But others said, "We will hear you again about this." The Areopagus, by the way, is a rock, which is found close to the Acropolis in Athens, Greece. You want to show that picture? I'm standing on the Areopagus. This is where Paul preached to the people of Athens. Notice that behind me you can see the Acropolis in the back of that picture. The Acropolis, by the way, is filled with temples to different gods. You want to show that next image? This is a picture I took of one of those temples on the Acropolis. So the Areopagus is a perfect place for Paul to talk about an altar that he found that said to an unknown God. Let me show you a picture of an altar that was found in Rome, in the ruins of Rome, to an unknown God. So perhaps it's the same one. Maybe Rome stole it from Athens. I don't know. Or maybe it's just an identical one or similar. But it was an altar to an unknown God. You know, the just-in-case God. You know, just in case there's a God we don't know about, we've got an altar for you. I mean, we wanted to make sure you were included. Paul says, "I can tell you who this unknown God is. He doesn't live in this shrine. He's way too great for that. He can't fit on your little altar. And then Paul talks about the resurrection of the dead. And frankly, some people who heard Paul rejected him. Get this guy out of here. People don't rise from the dead. That's craziness. But then there were a few people who said, we want to hear more. And it was the beginning of faith for some of them. So think about this. Paul's starting point for faith begins with believing in the resurrection. He believes that's where we start. He believes that Jesus has the power to resurrect lives. And he encourages other people to believe like him. And that's what we see many times. We see lives resurrected and changed. You perhaps read countless stories about it, and I have. I think of one story that appeared in Dropping Your Guard, a story written by Chuck Swindoll. It tells about a man who'd been living on the streets for quite a while. Then one Sunday evening, he wandered into church. You know, he was just wandering around. Church doors were open, so he wandered into this worship service. He looked horrible. He was dirty. His shirt was torn open. His hair looked like he hadn't combed it or cleaned it in months. He had a very scraggly-looking beard. And his eyes were dazed as if he was on drugs, and it was a possibility. He smelled of beer and beach and body odor. And he certainly was not the type of person that you'd expect to wander into church. I mean, I'm looking right now, and y'all look pretty clean and neat to me this morning. And the fact was, he had never set foot in a church before. His parents had finally kicked him out of the house. But there was something about Steve that encouraged the congregation to take care of him. And they showed him love. And they cared for him. And guess what? Steve's life began to change. The change happened from the inside out. He was different. His attitude was different. His habits and even his clothing began to change. He wore clean and neat clothes. He decided to go back to work. He even reconciled with his parents. And Steve developed a deep hunger to know more about God. And it was all because of the love of strangers in that church for Steve. And God was able to use Steve in ways that he could never imagined. Because, you know, eventually, he went to seminary. He got ordained as a pastor. And then he pastored a church in Southern California. Steve had been resurrected by a resurrected Jesus and a congregation who shared their faith about the resurrection. So our faith foundation starts by asking, who is Jesus? You know, some of the stories and the facts we find in the Bible, especially in the early chapters of Genesis, may seem questionable. That's okay. Our faith doesn't stand or fall based on the flood story or on how many days there were in creation. Our belief in the resurrection is the foundation upon which we build our faith. And that is a strong foundation, a secure foundation. Amen.